Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too.
Isaiah 49 verse 13 to 50 verse 3. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you'll wear them all as ornaments. You'll put them on like a bride. Though you are ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you'll be too small for your people. And those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Can plunder be taken from warriors or captives be rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. This is what the Lord says. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold. Because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to deliver you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke, I dry up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. We're in Isaiah 49. It's going to be helpful to have that in front of you. There's a lot of text there, maybe some unfamiliar text in those verses. But what is it, do you think? What is it that we need to remember when things seem hopeless? What do we need to remember when things seem hopeless? I mean, another COVID variant, Omicron, more national debt, things going from bad to worse. You only have to look at the news, don't you? I don't know how well you do at being positive when bad news hits your eyes. Well, Jojo and I, we've been enjoying reading Winnie the Pooh recently at bedtimes. And as you know, there is one character there who is the pessimist extraordinaire. And that is Eeyore. He loses his tail and he just gives up. Most likely lose it again anyway. He looks at his life and he thinks it's all for naught. See, that's the voice we have at bedtime. In the Christian life, it can be easy, can't it, to take Eeyore's perspective on life. Perhaps you are an Eeyore right now. But last week we were in Isaiah 49 verses 1 to 12. And we were seeing God's plan to stop history repeating itself. We were looking at the servant who was hidden away, the servant who was about to be revealed, the one who was going to come and stop the cycle of history from turning again. And that was such great news that verse 13 of our passage this evening starts with the whole of creation called to sing. Chapter 49, verse 13, shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. God's going to do it. So rejoice, comfort is on the way. But straight after that, we get three objections. Three objections from Israel playing the part of Eeyore. Three objections from Israel to God's rescue plan. Three reasons that they're going to sit there and keep their mouths shut with their arms folded as the rest of the world sings. I'm going to let you into the life of the piano player here at Christchurch Hemel. Maybe Louise can agree with me on this. Every so often you look up and you just see the one person who they just don't want to be there. Their mouth is held firmly shut, their arms are crossed like this, and they have dagger eyes looking at the piano. Come on, when are you going to stop? Well, anyway, no one's going to do that ever again, are they? Well, you get those three objections I'm talking about in verses 14, 21, and 24. God has forgotten us, God's given up on us, and God simply can't do it. God's forgotten me, God's given up on us, and God simply can't do it. Perhaps we find ourselves thinking the same thing sometimes. Perhaps we're thinking those things today. Well, let's have a look at how God answers each of those accusations in turn, shall we? The first one, it's there in verses 14 to 20. Have a look at verse 14. But Zion, that's Israel, said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Zion, God's people, they accuse God of forsaking them, of divorcing them. They claim that he's forgotten all about them. He wants nothing more to do with them. Well, how does God answer that charge? Have a look at the language God uses, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I don't think there's a closer bond than a baby with her mother. I can tell you from personal experience that it's the mum who doesn't go to sleep if the child is crying. It's the mum who makes sure that the baby has everything they need and that the child is where they need to be. And even when the child is older, it's the mum who will not go to bed until she knows the child is safe. It's the mum who says to you, give us three rings before you get home, or when you get home, even when the child's in their 30s. But do you see here, God's remembrance, it goes further than that. Because sometimes a mother will forget. I mean, this time of year, we're reminded of that as the annual movie comes on, a traditional annual movie, Home Alone. It's really bad for the mum there. Every year she gets reminded of leaving her child in the house. It's rare, but it does happen. Yet God says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. Or verse 16, God's people, they are graven on his hands. Now, I'm probably not talking to the right men in this room at the moment. Well, you can surprise me in a minute. But some men, well, they get tattoos, don't they? They want to show their dedication to their lady by etching their name into their skin. Well, God goes even further than that. God says his people are engraved on his hands. See, God goes even further. His palms, they're etched into his palms. He's not going to forget them. And just in case you're an architect, God cares for his people like an architect cares for walls that he has built. Don't need to go too far into that one, but do you get the point? God does not forget his people. The accusation is ludicrous. So this evening, do you know how committed God is to his people? I reckon we can hear the promises of God. We can read this kind of stuff and we can think, whoopee. Instead, we need to dwell on these words. We need to know that God does not forget. So don't be an Eeyore. You see, God doesn't forget. And that's going to be demonstrated, God says, by the people rushing in to join God's people. Did you see that? These verses are key. Just see how amazing this is. Isaiah 49, 17 to 20. Your children, they hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes. Look all around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people. And those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. God's people flooding in, growing in number, is a reminder that God has not forgotten his people. Isaiah says to the faithful there in Israel that their children will come to them. So many of them are going to come that the land they're in right now, well, that's not going to be big enough to hold them. And if you've ever thought of the land of Israel, you probably have rose-tinted glasses. But just think about how much space it has. I mean, the closest country in respect to size to Israel is Wales. Now, we have some people here who think Wales is amazing, but in terms of fitting the whole number of God's people into it, simply not big enough. God is going to bring so many people into his people that the land, it's just going to have to expand. The land's got to be bigger than that physical land there. That is what God is saying right here. We're going to see that idea carry on flowing through Isaiah. But that takes us to the second objection there in verses 21 to 23. God has given up on us. See, it's just like Eeyore, thinking that Pooh has forgotten about his tail when he's gone to get Christopher Robin. Verse 21. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? Just imagine one morning you wake up, you go downstairs, around your dining table, 10 children eating your breakfast cereal. Where have these come from? Well, Israel are complaining here that it's impossible for them to have children. Just look at the words, they're bereaved. They're barren. There's no children. In fact, there's no hope of children. Israel are exiled. They're rejected. They're nowhere near being able to have children. Surely God's given up on us. Surely God isn't bringing his plan to make Abraham's children as numerous as the seashore, as many as the stars in the sky. It's simply not possible. Where have these children who've come into God's people come from? Well, verses 22 and 23, this is where they come from. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. See, God is going to raise up his banner. He's going to put his flag in the ground. And he's going to signal to the nations, to the peoples to come in. God's going to do it. Just look at the language there. See all the I will going on? God will do everything that's necessary for these children to come in. And the nations, they're going to bring the children in. Little boys on their shoulders, little girls on their hips, children coming in from all over the world. In fact, kings are going to come in and be their foster fathers. Queens are going to join and be nursing mothers. You see here, the children here, they're non-biological. But they are believers. They all come in and they're bowing down to the ground. They're taking the position of worship. These are people coming into God's people, believing, trusting, hoping in the Lord from all over the world. All because God is going to signal to the ends of the earth. That phrase, lifting up, the banner, it's come up in Isaiah before. Straight after talking about the king in Isaiah 11, which we saw last week. It's interesting how it comes up straight after the servant here in this passage too. It's like we're still talking about the same idea. In fact, if you really want to plug this into the New Testament, the same phrase of lifting up a banner comes up in John chapter 3, where Jesus himself says he is the one who's going to be lifted up and all people will come to him. Seems like Jesus knows Isaiah. It seems that this banner is actually the servant himself, who when he's raised up, is going to bring the nations into God's people. And that's exactly what we see today, isn't it? Believers all over the world coming in and trusting in Jesus. So whenever you're feeling a bit Eeyore-ish, whenever you think God might have forgotten you, we can remember that God has not forgotten his people. We can look around at the church around the world because God is growing them day by day. And the final objection is there in verse 24. Can plunder be taken from warriors, or captives be rescued from the fierce? Can people really come out of exile? Can God really take on the strong? Can he go into the strong man's house and bind him? Exactly the same phrase. See, to think that God is unable to rescue is to think that God is weak. To think that God is weaker than those who've taken the people captive. It's a really sad position to be in, because these people, they should have known God's power. In fact, it's exactly how God reminds them by using Exodus language there in verses 25 and 26. But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They'll be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I mean, it's gruesome language, isn't it? But it makes the point. God is able to do that. He's done it before. He has saved. He has redeemed. Israel knows that from the Exodus. Jacob knows that from Genesis. So the issue is not with God. God has answered these objections. The issue is not with him. It's with the people. That's what verses 1 to 3 of chapter 50 are doing. This is what the Lord says. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold. Because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to deliver you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke I draw up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. It's the opposite of the gentle breakup message. There's a company that specializes in romantic cards gone wrong. There's one of them. It is not me. It's you, says God. It's not me who walked off. It's you. Check the small print of our marriage agreement. You'll see that I was faithful. It's not that I was strapped for cash. No, I'm powerful enough to save you. Verse 2, I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I mean, that invokes memories of plague number one in the Exodus. I clothe the heavens with darkness and I make sackcloth its covering. That's plague number 9 of the Exodus. See, God is able to rescue, isn't he? He did the other 7 plagues in Egypt. Between those two, he can do it. This is not God's fault. It's not me. It's you. In fact, I hope it's been obvious this evening that God has not forgotten his people. Actually, the people have forgotten him. God's not given up on his people. They've given up on him. God is able to do exactly what he says. The issue is not with him, it's with his people. Throughout the history of God's people, there's been doubts. But that doubt has never, it's never been God's fault. From Abraham doubting the promises, as we've seen in Growth Group, to Moses this week not thinking it's going to work, through to Israel of Isaiah's day, it's not God who is the problem, it's the people. And we too can be like them. We can be Eeyore. But the solution here in this passage is to trust God. The solution is to see God for who he is and to trust him to keep his promises. To know 100% certainty that God has not forgotten his people. To realize that God will not give up on his worldwide rescue plan. His name is on the line. To understand God's power at work in the church today. See, we need to trust God as much as Israel needs to trust God here in Isaiah. So when we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us, well, let's remember this. Here's a really specific way this might look. Christmas is approaching. The publicity is now out and about. Let's say you take some of it home. As you're thinking about who to invite, who do you think to yourself, well, God couldn't save them, I'll save the invite? Is it God's lack of ability to do that? Or is it us being Eeyore about it? See, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Do we truly believe that?
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.